Okay, there's a Haggadah, there's an Isbit Haggadah called Sefer HaZmanim from the Beis Yaakov of Isbitz, Rav Yaakov Liner, the oldest son of the Mea Shiloach, who after the Mea Shiloach passed away. So Rav Leib Leiger and the Beis Yaakov of Isbitz were Rebbes at that time. Okay, so let's see. He really wants to just explain one word that we see a lot in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is the word Laila. Okay, Nos Beis. In the Sefer HaZmanim in the Os Beis. But Pesach Nemar Hatam Va'asisa Pesach LaHashem Elokecha Ki Bechodesh Ha'aviv Hotziacha Hashem Mitzrayim Laila. Interesting. It says in Devarim Perek Tazayin, you should make a carbon Pesach. Hashem took you out in the springtime, and Hashem took you out Laila. So let's learn the pnimius of Laila. Okay? Because it'll explain to us really the essence of Bechiras Yisrael in the context of Pesach. Rav Kluger's whole new sefer is about this inyan. So I was speaking about a little bit of Shal Shudas yesterday. Just the selection of Klal Yisrael when we were completely unworthy. But look how he explains it. He has some very deep yisodos here. And you'll understand some of the pieces that we encounter over the Yom Tov of Pesach. Hachiluk bein yom v'layla. So let's start by understanding the difference between day and night. Shabayom yesh ischabrus bein hamadregos, shanefesh hu mechubar im haguf. By day, things are able to connect. There's a clarity. Right? I know who I'm talking to right now. I see who's in the room with me. We're connecting over this piece of Torah from the Beis Yaakov. My body and my soul are connected, he says. During the day, the nefesh and the body are connected. Right now, my body and my soul are connected. In the sense that what? I'm awake and I'm alive. When I go to sleep and I enter some type of dead-like state, as the Gemara says that sleep is the 60th of death, and I don't know exactly how it works, but on some level my neshama goes back up to the higher realms, there's a disconnect. So day is a time of connection. When you're able to see, you're able to understand. Those are all forms of connection. That the nefesh is mechuber im aguf, like the pasuk says in Yeshaya, v'kara ze el ze. Right? That there's interaction. Shekol madrega to'emes mi madrega shelamala heimena. And each madrega is able to taste that which is above it. What does that mean? How does taste work? Think about taste for a second. Imagine you're trying to describe the taste of something to someone who's never experienced it. Okay, so pick something that has like a very specific taste. Jamie, you pick. A flavor that it would be very difficult to describe in just words if you never had it before.
Pickle.
A pickle?
No, a lemon.
A lemon, okay? So try, right? If you've never experienced anything that has a lemony taste, try describing, you know, lemon to someone, right? So you could use, again, there's certain descriptive words that you could use, but it would be very hard to really give over the essence of lemon until you've tasted it on some level, right? Whenever a Jew wants to reach a higher madrega, how do you know what you're reaching for? You've never been there before. You've never tasted it. So obviously, what the Beis Yaakov was hinting to, on some level, you have tasted it. Right? How have I tasted it? How do I know what to strive for? How do I know what I'm trying to get to if I've never been there? Because the level that I'm on now is somehow, through where I'm holding now, I'm able spiritually to taste something higher. I don't really know what it is. Right? Shabbos is a taste of Olam Haba. Shabbos is a taste of Olam Haba. What do you mean? Ayin lo rasa lo kimzu lo secha. No one's ever experienced Olam Haba. So how can I taste, right? How can Shabbos give me a taste of Olam Haba if I've never experienced Olam Haba? Because again, by day, everything is connected. So I'm able to taste a madrega that's above my level, even though I've never been to that level before. Okay, it's a deep idea that he's hinting to, but let's see. This is the Beis Yaakov. It's not going to be so easy to understand. Uvalayla yesh pirud bein madregos. But at night, the same way my neshama and my body separate when I go to sleep, on some level, there's a separation. So too, Laila represents a disconnect. What's he setting up? Think about it. Again, he wants to understand why the word Laila is used in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The question is, when Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, how did we get ourselves out of Mitzrayim? How do we know that there could be a Klal Yisrael before there's a Klal Yisrael? How did we know that we could cry out to Hashem before it happened? Right? How do we ask for Geula when we have no concept of Geula? Meaning, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, so we have a concept of Hashem saving Klal Yisrael. So when we find ourselves in Golis, we daven for Geula. We've tasted Geula, even though right now we're back in Golis again. But he's setting up the question, how did Klal Yisrael know that there could be something more? Until they taste it, until they experience it, if Mitzrayim was a Laila, so how were they able to even dream of something bigger? Where does that come from? Where do those dreams even come from? Kamoshi yish ba'olam kayitz v'chorech. Let's use another bashal, he says. Summer and winter. Right? Summer is a time of connection. Winter, like night, is a time of disconnect. Shebekayitz kol davar toem milamayla himenu. Then in the summer, then in the kayitz, everything is able to taste and experience that which is higher than it. Shehadomim misnase litzomeach, vatzomeach lachai v'achai lemedaber. Sha'odam omi lefnei Hashem yisparach. Akin misnasim etzlo kol hamadregos. Ya'an shehim rotzim linaseu la'amod lefnei Hashem yisparach. So he says, the summer, everything's connected. To such a degree, and again, I ask you, what does he mean by this? That inanimate objects long towards the flowers and trees, plant life, and plant life inclines itself towards animal life, and animal life tries to attach itself to medaber, to speaking people, and people try to attach themselves to Hashem, and every madrega is trying to be lifted up by the one who's standing before Hashem. V'zeh nikra boker da Avraham. And this is called the morning of Avraham. Morning of Avram is a Kabbalistic term that you find in the writings of Tzaddok a lot. Boker da'Avram means that there's a hisoris. There's a desire for something more. I don't know exactly what the Beis Yaakov means when he says that in the summer a rock wants to connect to a flower, and a flower wants to connect to an animal wants to connect to a person, and a person wants to connect to Hashem. I'm not sure what he means that in the time of light, in the time of sun, in the time of day, right, the various levels of creation are longing to attach one to another. I don't have a thought what that means. I mean, I understand, I guess, the flip side more, right? I understand in winter how everything, it's totally disconnected. In the winter, right, the relationship between the various parts of the Bria, everything is doing its own thing in the winter. The animals are hibernating, and the people are staying in their houses, and the flowers are not present in the world. Everything's beneath the surface. The trees are dead. They're not flowering. Everyone's just trying to survive, like, kind of on their own. In the summer, everything interacts. I don't know. People go swimming. That's an interaction between domim and Adam and the daber. A person puts himself into water. I mean, I don't know. People spend more time in the fields. The grass and people are interacting more. I'm not sure what he means by this longing, right, of an inanimate object to lift itself towards Someach, and Someach towards Chai, and Chai to Medaber. It's a deep idea. I'm not sure what he's saying. But he's saying that longing to want something more, recognizing that there could be a higher level of connection, as opposed to the winter, where everything is kind of just trying to do its own thing, that's called Boker Da'avram. When there's a Hesaurus, when you walk down the street and you see Rav Herschel Schechter, like I saw this morning, and I say, wow, just seeing Rav Schechter makes me want to be more like Rav Schechter. What's my Sheikhus Rav Schechter? It's a totally different level. Why do I think I can connect to it? Because Rav Schechter learns Torah and I learn Torah. Yeah, but his level of Torah learning is totally a different level. But there's a level of connection there. Right? So there's a Hesaurus, there's a Boker Da'avram, which means that I long to be more like Rav Schechter. I want to lift myself up towards him. Okay? That's what happens by day. V'chorev hu kamo laila. But winter is like night. Sheish pirud v'chalol ben adam ala adam. Maybe that is what he's saying. There's a separation that exists. A halal means an empty space. There's this blank space between man and the earth. We don't interact, right? We're not outside as much. We don't interact with the earth. And the earth doesn't interact with the flowers because it's not producing the flowers. And the animals are also interacting with the fields in a different way. There's this disconnect. And that's called Laila. There's a space between a person, between Adam and Adama. Kein hu yom v'laila. She yom hu chibur ha'gufim ha'nashama. So again, by day, when I'm alert, I'm connected. The various parts of me, my soul and my body are connected. Uvalaila yesh pirud. She'anefesh misnase l'malav ha'guf nisha l'mata. My soul goes back up when I go to sleep, and my body remains in the world below. Okay, top of the left column. V'yesh chalal ben ha'nefesh l'ha'guf. So there's a disconnect, there's a separation between my body and my soul. Okay? Now, how does this put... So we've seen it now in terms of day and night. We've seen it now in terms on some level between summer and winter. How does it play itself out in life? What is the yom of my life in terms of my life experience? What is the laila of my life? Uvachayim, he says, yesh gam kein yom v'laila. In life, we have moments of yom and we have moments of laila. Kisha Adam omid lifnei Hashem yisbarach. So when I feel that I'm what? That I'm in the presence of Hashem, then what? Like again, like Klal Yisrael desired and experienced this past week in Parsha Shmini. Vayera lechem kvod Hashem, when the Shechina is present and life is happening, that's called Yom. Ukisha nistar mimenu ve'eno omid lifnei Hashem yisbarach. When I feel Hester Panim, when I can't see Hashem, and I wonder where Hashem is, that's called Laila. Okay? But now, here's the Chiddush. Hashem, go back to the pasuk we started with. Yeah? V'asisa Pesach Hashem Elokecha, ki b'chodesh ha'aviv hotziyacha Hashem Mitzrayim laila. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim at night. So the simple way to learn this would be what we all know, which is what? There was no Issarus d'Leila, Issarus d'Tata. There was no Boker Davon. There was no arousal on our part. Hashem, in his chesed, came and took us out of Mitzrayim, and we did nothing. Like we learned the piece from the Bnei Yisasa, when you're baking the matzah, right? The matzah is being what? All the input is coming from the baker. So all the salvation is coming from Hashem on Pesach. It's all Hashem, it's not us. Yeah? You wake up in the morning, it was basically you were dead and Hashem tchiyas ha-mesim. It was all Hashem. But says the Beis Yaakov, the truth is, sleep is a very interesting model to think about. Because when you're sleeping, on the one hand he says your nefesh and your guf are separated, but on some level, let's be honest, you're still alive. You're not actually dead. Which means that even in Laila, when it looks like there's a disconnect, there's still some deep level of connection. Okay, look how he explains it. Mikol makom yesh ba'adam gam ba'layla chayim, sheyuchol lamud b'boker. Right? So on the one hand, you could say, again, the simple way, the way we have in so many other svarim is that, what, that Hashem, we were dead in Mitzrayim, and Hashem saved us. But it's not exactly true. Because we weren't on the 50th level of Tumah. There was a part of us that was still, in some way, beneath the surface, crying out for Hashem, wanting to connect to Hashem, even though we didn't even know what that meant. The Madregos were separated. She'ein nofa mimenu rak ispashto sachayim bilvad. Here's the key line. That what was lacking in Mitzrayim, and you're going to see a very amazing way how he brings proofs to this idea, there was the hispashto sachayim was lacking. What does he mean by hispashto sachayim? What does he mean by hispashtus? Boker de Avram. What was the nature of Avram Avinu? How does Yom work? Yom is Avram Avinu, he's saying. Boker de Avram, hispashtus. Avram Avinu's tent was open on all sides. Avram was a person who was out there, you know? Avram was out there and he was preaching and teaching and feeding and providing. Yeah? There was a hispashtus. Hispashtus means expansion. In Mitzrayim, there was life. It wasn't that there was no life, but it was so contracted, it was so much in the Meitzar. What is a Meitzar? Bein ha-Meitzarim. Like the Pasuk says in Eicha, like we call the 3 weeks. Bein ha-Meitzarim means what? It means trapped. We were, right? Kol ve'odfei yisigua bein ha-Meitzarim. Bein ha-Meitzarim contracted. There was no hispashtus achayim. Hadru in Mitzrayim, what? Kotzer ruach. Culturally, you couldn't even get a good deep breath in Mitzrayim. Because when you take a deep breath, the body like inflates, you know? No, they were mamish flat like a matzah. That's what he's about to describe. Aval ikr hanakuda shochayim nish'eres gam balayla b'sheina u'mizeh nis'orer b'boker mechadash. But even in that moment where life is contracted, even in that moment when a person's asleep, and sleep is a taste of death, and it looks like what? The body and soul have separated. There's a level of connection, and it's through that level of connection that a person's able to wake up in the morning. It's that hidden connection that gives you the possibility of waking up tomorrow. So now, look how it plays itself out in Mitzrayim. When we look so dead, but we're actually in some way alive, but he's going to say it in a new way. I know that the general concept is not entirely new to us, if you learn Sefer Chassidus, which we do. But look how he says it. V'zeh ha'yagam kim v'mitzrayim kmo layla, sh'nafo mehem kol hispashtus, ad sh'lo ha'yahikir mitzidam shehem Yisrael. In Mitzrayim, we were so contracted. We were so flattened out by the Egyptians. There was no ispashtus. There was such a mitzar, Mitzrayim. We were so curled up in a little ball in Mitzrayim to the point that what? That we couldn't identify ourselves. That we weren't able to recognize that we were Klal Yisrael. It was Klal Yisrael in such a contracted form, such a constricted form. The tiniest drop of Klal Yisrael. Rak shenishar hanakuda atzma, shehashem yizbarach ochez osa besocham, u'mena nakuda hoshia lehem Hashem yizbarach v'hischa la'ora. But Hashem, as much as, again, the typical way to look at it is, okay, so there was no us, we had lost ourselves entirely, and Hashem, in His kindness, He came and He saved us. So what the Beis Yaakov was saying, no, Hashem looked at that tiniest dot of Yisrael that somehow was still alive in Mitzrayim, and Hashem did what? Hashem started to what? To give it His pashtus, to expand that nekuda of life. Vayidei zeh hayagula. Okay? So now, look how this is reflected in the things that we have in Mitzrayim. I already hinted to the matzah, which is so flat, again, represents what? A total lack of hispashtus achayim. It's completely flattened out. Alkein tzrichim lechol Pesach. Think about the carbon Pesach. How do we eat a carbon Pesach? Will it slow so slow? The way that it's roasted is rosho al kra'av al kirbo. You have to roast it whole, right? With its head and its feet and its innards all together. Tied together. Why? What's the image? It's like a baby in a fetal position where everything is contracted, where the child in utero is squished together, where its head is touching its feet almost, right? And its head is pressed up against its knees. So too, the Karban Pesach represents a Klal Yisrael which was in a fetal position, like a baby. No expansion whatsoever, no space, no breath to them. Yeah? Rosho al kira'av, right? Its head on its feet, so to speak. She'ein lo mitido shum espashtus. Like a baby like a child in its mother's womb, munach rosho al krav, right, with its head on its knees, on its legs, she'ein lo mitzido shum espashtus, the baby has no expansion of its own, it has no real life of its own, it doesn't have an independent chiyus, it goes where the mother goes. It's holech l'makom she'im holeches. So therefore, the Karban Pesach, the whole thing has to be what? Put together. More than that, he says. V'alzeh moragam kein tzli'esh. What's the difference between baking something and roasting something? What happens when you roast something? If I boil something, if I take this meat and I put it in the pot, right, so it gets inflated from the water, it gets bigger. When you roast something, what? Right, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. When it's roasted, it's entirely contracted. That's what roasting does. Roasting takes all of the expansion of that inyan and it constricts it. Tzimtzum. That tzli'esh represents, again, everything that you acquired, everything that you tried to become as you built your empire, right? Roasting represents everything being contracted back to its most basic form. Like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Eish lo amrahon. Fire never says enough. Fire is never satisfied. Fire always wants to turn things into fire. If you leave the Karban Pesach over the open fire for too long, it'll be reduced to nothing but fire. It'll be completely consumed. V'lo nisharaka nekuda shashem yizbar ochez asah so klal yisrael. Again, the Karban Pesach, the flat matzah, the roasted Karban Pesach with its head on its knees represents, again, a very constricted klal yisrael. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch was able to identify that little point of life and then to start bringing it out and to expand it and to expand it. And the reason that it was such a fine, small, constricted point is to say, right, that the selection of Klal Yisrael is something that goes totally beyond our intellect. Something that's beyond, again, we don't look alive. He chose us in a state of Laila. Laila, what do you mean? The nefesh is not even connected to the guf in a time of Laila. On a revealed level, on a concealed level, it's absolutely connected. So therefore, coming back to our pasuk, what does the pasuk say? Bring a carbon pesach as you're roasting it, head and entrails. That's the English word for like the kishkas, yeah, and its knees and its legs, all tied together, all one chaticha achas. Think about the fact that what? That Hashem took Yad Mitzrayim laila. What does that have to do with the way that I make the carbon pesach? Haynu shahayu b'choshech mitzar atzma. That when a person is in the dark, when a person is in that constricted state, a person seems like he has nothing of his own. They look like there's no independent existence. There is no chayim whatsoever. And think about the Minchas Omer. Sviras HaOmer. The Minchas Omer that we bring on the second day of Pesach. What do we bring it from? Hayabami Sa'ora, Michael Behema. We bring it from what? Not wheat, but from barley. We bring it from animal food. We weren't even human. If we were animals, if the carbon of the second day of Pesach is animal food, so how are we going to become humans? How can an animal become a human? There are different levels. There's no connection between them. So Hashem is saying that's not true. There's always a level of connection. Right? There's an ability when you're an animal to want to taste something human. There's an ability for a person in Laila to also be connected to the higher Madregos, even though you think that's only true by Yom. And therefore, what does it say? On the night of Pesach, what does the Torah say? Lo teitzu ish mi Pesach beso. The Jews weren't allowed to leave their houses. Why? Because there's no hispashtus. Hashem says, I want to select you at a point of complete constriction. Mitzrayim, flat bread, roasted, you know, constricted, shriveled up meat, Jews trapped in their homes. Shebe'im yispashit atzma b'kabbalah satova yosumidai, lo yeh bilti maisa ha'guf. Shegu'ulas Mitzrayim haya be'inyan pasuach v'dilug sh'Hashem yisbarach heyir oz yisgalus mefurash me'ur atika. Asher Yisrael alu b'machshav etchila, shekodem b'ri asolam. Because Hashem wants to teach Klal Yisrael, the point of selection is not based on everything you've become. Again, expansion means, what have you accomplished? What have you added to your repertoire? Hashem says, I want to choose you as that little point called Yisrael, before you become anything. I don't want you to earn it. I don't want you to prove it. I don't want you to become it. Right? It's a place of selection that comes, he says, Me'ur Atika. Ba'atika Talia Milsa, like the Zohar says, when the Jews are standing at the Yam Suf, and they start screaming out to Hashem, Hashem, whoa, ma titzak elai, why are you screaming? What do you mean? Because we're Jews, so we daven. So the Zohar says, no, don't daven, ba'atika Talia Milsa. This is connected to Atik, to ancient things. What ancient thing? What are you talking about? Why can't I ask for your help, Hashem? Hashem says, no, don't ask for help. Don't ask for my help. Ba'atika Talia Milsa. What? Hashem says, I want to select you, again, not based on any of your zchuyos. Because the malachim are about to complain. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, v'halalu of the Avodah Zarah. Jews are out of worshippers, the Egyptians are out of worshippers. Why are you picking the Jews? So don't give me a reason, because look, the Jews daven to me. I don't want you, don't do that. I want you to be as constricted as can be. And Hashem says, in that place of constriction, of concealment, that's where I choose you. Asher Yisrael alu b'machshav etchila, shekodim b'riyas olam. Before you were mispashed, before you lived a life and did things with your life and did good things with your life. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu selected us before anything. I want to identify the Jews as good, even when on the surface, in terms of their presentation, there's no difference at all. Hashem Yisbarach dileg al zeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over all of the explanations and redeemed us. Lezeh mitzidam tzrichin lasos karban pesach. So when we bring the karban pesach, we bring that flat matzah, and we stay in our homes. That's why some people don't, you know, people who trust other people's kashrus, still, some people have a minhag not to eat in anyone else's home on Pesach. Why? I trust them. They probably know how to make Pesach even more than better than I do. Right? But there's an inyan of coming back to that place of complete constriction. To stay in the house. We make the Karban Pesach in such a way to try to tap back into that point of selection, the tiniest point of selection. From a place where there was no efforts that were made by us, there was nothing that we had done. And for this, a Jew has to always come back to this point to say, why did Hashem choose me? Oh, I know why Hashem chose me, because I did all these good things. No, but that's not true, because Hashem chose me both good things. So on Pesach, we come back to that point of selection. And that's what a karban is in general. And this came the piece we were learning from Parsha Shemini. What's a karban? What is a karban? A sacrifice. Yeah? How do I get closer? Let's think about a karban just like in the simplest sense, yeah? So the way the Ramban says, when I bring a karban, it should be me, but I'm bringing an animal in my stead, in my place. So hold on a second. You're telling me karban. Karban means drawing close. So you're saying by negating myself, I should be the karban. So I should be dying. I should be killed. So you're saying, hold on, when I'm dead, I'm close to you? But when I'm dead, I would think I'm not able to be close to you. When I'm alive, when I'm awake, when I'm doing, when I'm achieving, when I'm learning, when I'm studying, that's when I'm close to you, Hashem. And yet the Zohar says, he writes five lines from the end, he says, the Zohar says, Raza de karbana mati arein sof. The secret of a karban is that a karban goes arein sof, to the farthest reaches. Karban, what do you mean? A karban, like you bring the animal and then it's over. And when I sacrifice myself, again, when I think about the karban as being me, if I kill myself, then I can't serve you anymore, Hashem. So how could possibly, Mesiras Nefesh, how could dying, how could surrendering to you, how could not being alive be a better way to serve you? Kal yedei ha-karban ha-adam mamik b'chol pam v'roash ha-kol tali b'ein sof. Because by sacrificing a karban, which again is the embodiment of me, it's by picturing myself dying on that mizbeach, yeah, would not being alive make me closer to Hashem? But then I can't do anything for Hashem. Ah, unless I understand that Hashem's selection of me in the deepest level is not based on anything I've ever done. All the mitzvahs I've ever done is not the reason that Hashem is bocher ba'amu Yisrael, bi'ava. The karban reminds me that what? That our kol tali be'ein sof, that everything is dependent upon Hashem, v'chol ma shenidma lo shehesig eizatam mamik b'zeh v'roa asher od lo hisig klum. And a karban, by throwing my life away, by dying, that's what the karban represents, the sacrifice. Again, game over for this animal. But by making that decision to be prepared to give it all up is my way of saying, you know what, because it's not really about me. It's not really about the things that I do. It's such a deep idea. As the Zohar says, the secret of karban is arein sof. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'zeu atam hotziyacha mitzrayim laila." I took you out of Egypt at night. No, but take us out a day. Let us do some stuff. Let's earn it. Sha'arizu haisa lamala misichla. Right? When you bring your karban pesach, think about it. The karban pesach is constricted. The matzah is constricted. Mitzrayim is a place of constriction. A karban is a place of giving up life. Right? Hashem took us out at Laila. These are all things that seem to negate me. And that's exactly how I become close to Hashem. Sha'arizu haisa lamala misichlam v'daitam u'machuna b'shem Laila. And again, that was what Mishal and Eltzafan did as well. By giving up what they wanted to do and sacrificing their own personal simcha, right, by allowing themselves to be metapel with the dead bodies of Nadav and Aviyu, that's how they became so close to Hashem. So again, Pesach is that strange reminder. It's funny, because it's a Yom Tov we probably do the most, you know? It's the only time that we're like the most busy doing. It takes the most effort to come to Pesach. And yet there's an element of, no, that's the irony of it. After all that I've done, no, it's not me. It's Baruch who saves me. I had a thought of Shal Shulis, I'll end with this. At Shal Shulis yesterday, I was thinking about the fact that we call the Seder a Seder, even though it's out of order. Right? That's what I'm talking about, the fact that normally it's Sur Meirava Aseh Tov. But at the Seder, we do Kadesh before Orchatz. A lot of Sfarim talk about it. Rav Kluger has a piece on it in his new Sefer. Usually it's Kadesh before Orchatz. Usually it's Orchatz before Kadesh. Right? Orchatz means wash away, and then Kadesh, and then sanctify yourself. What does that mean? It means Sur Meira, stop doing bad, and then Aseh Tov. And at the Seder, V'nahavachu, it's Kadesh before Orchatz. Even the Ramah, who paskens that all year round, you're supposed to wash and then make Kiddush. You ever see anyone do that? Anyone who does that?
Yeah.
Who wash for bread and then make Kiddush?
Yeah?
Yeah? It's a Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah says, V'chein no again. Mr. Brewer says, not V'chein no again. That's why most of us probably don't do it. Right? But it's not like some, only weird Yekesh Aminag. It's a Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah says at the Seder night, the Ramah agrees that we flip it. Kadesh Orchatz. Kadesh then Orchatz. Right? So all the Sfarim say, yeah, because Pesach is the night of Dilug, we jump ahead, we don't have to follow we're able to jump to a high level of Kadesh even before Orchatz. We can reach levels of Kedusha even before we disconnect from the Tumah. Kadesh can come before Orchatz. So I'll ask you a simple question. So then why is it called the Seder? Then you're telling me tonight we're able to operate out of the usual order of things. Okay, so don't call the night Seder. Right? Meaning, Meman Avshach. If the order of Kadesh Orchatz is the appropriate order, so that should be the order all year round. But if you're telling me that, no, all year round it's Sur Meira Orchatz, and then come to Kedusha, and you're telling me tonight we're operating in this V'nahafachu kind of way, so then don't call it a Seder. How could you call it a Seder and then do the first step of the Seder out of order? So I was thinking, it's a cute Vart, but I think it's a deep idea. Maybe the idea is, Hashem says, no, call it Seder. I call it Seder. So Hashem says, okay, let's see your Seder. I'm going to come watch your Seder, yeah? So Hashem comes to watch the Seder, and all of a sudden Hashem sees Kadesh Orchatz. So Hashem says, that's not Seder. Hashem says, you messed up the first step. That's not Seder. So Hashem says, okay, that's fine. I still love you. And you can still have the Seder. Meaning, Hashem is saying, even though you don't even know how to get the first step of the Seder right, this is not, it's supposed to be a night that's called Seder, and you do the first step out of order. So it's basically Hashem like setting us up to like mess up the first step of the Seder. You hear? Does it make sense the way I'm explaining it?
The first step's supposed to be...
Meaning, again, the real Seder Hadvarim is Orchatz Kadesh, Sur Meira, Va'aseh Tov. So the Svarim say, no, on tonight we change the order. Right? So I'm asking, so then don't call it Seder. Why are we calling it Seder? We're calling it Seder and then we're doing something that's not Seder. So maybe it's our way of saying to ourselves, even if you're trying to live a life of Seder and you can't even get the first step right, you can't get it together. You're doing things out of order, right? Meaning it's like a perish on Bechiras Yisrael. Even though we don't know how to even get the first step of the Seder right, we can't even get the order right. Again, this is the order on this night. That's what I'm saying. But even though we can't like follow the order, that's okay. We can still have a Seder. We can still be selected by Hashem. Right? It's just another way of expressing the fact that like we don't have anything to offer. We can't even do the first step right of the Seder. Like the Sfarim say, a person at the end of their life, they come to the Olam HaEmes, and they sit down for their final examination. And Hashem takes out the Shulchan Aruch and opens up to the first halacha. And it says, Yizgaber Ka'ari, jump out of bed like a lion in the morning. And you're thinking to yourself, shoot, like I'm going to get out on the first question of the test, right? I didn't even do that. I didn't follow the first halach in the Shulchan Aruch. In addition to everything else I didn't follow. But Hashem would be like, you didn't even do the first thing? Like, you couldn't even get started? So at the Seder also, we come to the Seder, Hashem says, okay, let's see who my Klal Yisrael is. The night is called Seder. What? What are you doing? You're doing the first step out of order. All right, it's fine. I still choose you. Because again, the selection of Klal Yisrael is not on us being able to do the right thing. Of course we try to do the right thing. But the point, starting point of Bechiras Yisrael, which we highlight through the flat matzah, and the constricted environment, and the don't leave your house, and the roasted carbon Pesach, all these things say that even if your mom is like as dead as can be, Hashem still finds that nekud of life inside you, and then Hashem will expand it. Hashem will make it go. All right, it's a deep idea. It's hard. I figured we'd try to be brave today. Okay, Shkayach, stop here.